Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. We're ready to get back in our Father's Word. The book of Zechariah, remembered of Yah. Father's going to remember us. He's returning. And, you know, where are you going to be when he returns? Are you going to be in good standing with him? All you have to do is, it's so easy to get along with our Father. All you have to do is love him and try, you know. Even when you mess up, if you repent, he's your Father. And he said, that's okay, let's get it right next time. Think about it. He's so very good to us. And you need to seek and be in good standing with him. You see, that's where blessings come from. And life with his blessings is such a pleasure. It is very helpful. So we come to chapter 9 and verse 11. Remember what 9 and 10 were in this chapter. Verse 9 was the first advent, and verse 10 was the second advent of Jesus Christ here on earth. Father preparing us, and he, as Jesus would say himself in the 13th chapter of Mark, behold, I have foretold you all things through the prophets. Okay, so you don't have to worry about anything. Just pick it up and go with it. Verse 11 to continue. After he's saying that there would be two advents. Let's go with it from chapter 9, verse 11, the great book of Zechariah. It reads, as for thee also, speaking of Zion, by the blood of thy covenant, or your covenant was made by blood, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. In other words, the pit of lies, deception of these end times. He says, I've freed you from that. You're not a prisoner of it because you recognize a lie when you see it, and you recognize falsehood when you see it. You recognize a false preacher when you see one. Well, how can you really tell whether they're teaching God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse or not? Verse 12, turn ye, or return, if you would, to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. Now, who is he talking to, and what is double? Who receives a double reward in that covenant? The first fruits do. Who are the first fruits? God's elect. And he's saying, you really turn totally to me when that trouble hits, and you'll never regret it. You'll always be glad for it. Our Father knows exactly what's going on. He knows the innocent from those that are guilty. Verse 13, when I have bent Judah for me, and we're talking about bending him like a bow here, okay? This is God's weapon. When I have bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, that's the 10 tribes, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, oh, Greece. This means Greece gets kind of a bad trip. Here's Javon. It means heathen nations, okay, non-Christian. And made thee as the sword of a mighty man. In other words, I'm going to use my own people as a weapon against deception and heathenism in the end times. This is very important because when you look around, look at the Christian nations. You don't see any of the Christian nations volunteering to blow themselves to bits to kill innocent people, women, children. You know, stop and think a moment. Okay. God uses his people to bring about peace and freedom and the right to worship our Heavenly Father. That's what it's all about. And all you have to do is look around yourself today to see this come to pass. God uses his children as a weapon to bring the word of God to the world. And naturally, Messiah is the head. No getting around that. But he does use his people, his children. Verse 14, and the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning. Man, I mean, just zap like that. and the Lord God shall blow the trumpet. Well, what trumpet's that? The last trumpet, of course, the seventh, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. I mean, when God is with you to that extent, why wouldn't you be blessed? What would you have to worry about? Nothing. Our Father is with us. All you have to do is take inventory of the world situation. Look around you and think. Don't listen to all the input of the scaremongers that like to frighten people into sacrificing all their savings and everything else for the cause. What cause? Well, they don't know. But the real cause is serving Almighty God. And doing exactly, if you want Him with you, that's what makes the difference, okay? Verse 15, the Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones, and they shall drink and make a noise as through wine, and they shall be filled like bowls, and as the corners of the altar. Boy, this is really kind of sawed up. Let's do a little work on it. Subdue with sling stones means you're going to tromp their sling stones into nothing. Okay, all their weaponry is going to be destroyed. And what does it mean? They shall drink and make a noise as through wine. We have two things going here. The cup is where blood was collected of sacrifice and thrown on the, there were four horns at each corner of the altar, and the blood was poured on those horns, meaning power, okay? But what has changed? The new wine. What is the new wine? It's Christ's blood that was shed for the sins of God's children, or anyone who are God's children, anybody that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody that loves our Father and believes whom He sent, then that new wine, of course, is that new blood, rather, that you would pour on that altar is the Lord Jesus Christ. He poured His blood on there, and that stopped the blood sacrifice for one and all times. He became the supreme sacrifice, a sacrifice that was worthy. And when you are under that sacrifice, God is with you. God will defend you. How precious it is. And this is one of the places where law wasn't changed, but law was fulfilled, and Christ fulfilled it. Verse 16. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day. He's going to do what? The Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of His people. For they shall be as the stones of a crown, lifted up as an ensign upon His land. Now, this should be translated the gems of a crown. Do you know what this symbolizes? Have you ever seen the picture, the breastplate of a priest, or a true priest? There's 12 stones, and each of those stones represent a tribe. And what it's saying here, all the tribes are going to have that gem. They're all going to be there. They're all going to be on the head of Christ. That is to say, Christ is their head, meaning He's the boss. Okay, to put it plainly, and they follow Him willingly, lovingly, and He's in control. God's in control. This is something you got to get in your mind. When you hear the scaremongers and come bellowing across the airways about it's almost over, we're going down if you don't do this, that, or the other, God's still on the throne. He's in charge. And things are going just exactly as it's written. And that's why you want to always listen to your Father, because He is in control. Verse 17, for how great is His goodness, can't be beat. And how great is His beauty, that can't be beat either. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids. And of course, that new wine is the blood of Christ, and the maids being the bride of Christ that is to come, that great wedding that's going to take place. God loves His children, and when you have His blessings, and when He leads, then you're in an army that you know is going to overcome, even if it's in war. If you have a praying group, those rough old Marines, they never pray. Don't ever kid yourself. You don't have to pray out loud. You know, they're all very close, most generally, all very close to our Heavenly Father. And they feel they're in a country that deserves protecting. Well, brother, you don't understand. I'm a Christian, and I know you're supposed to love, 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 love everyone. Satan? You're going to love Satan? What kind of Christian are you? We have enemies, and we have people that we must protect our children from. And many would say, well, I didn't know that the Bible taught that. Well, of course it does. Do you know what Psalms 144 says? And I like to do this for servicemen, okay, everywhere, having been one myself and still right there with the old Corps. Well, what does Psalms 144 say? First verse, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. God wants you to war when it's necessary to protect his children. And I know that you get a bunch of these goody-goody two-shoesers that just, I mean, they're so holy that they're afraid to even go near a sinner, which that's what God sent them here for, is to save sinners. It beats me, okay. But our Father expects His children, that those that are blessed, to protect the children, okay. It is written in the book of Timothy, a man that won't protect his children is worse than an infidel. Okay. If he won't provide for them. We have a lot of children, and our men should feel and know that we have to protect them, or we're worse than that bunch of infidels that were spoken of back in verse 13. Time to mature and know that being a Christian nation, as there's many around the world, is a blessed thing. And God observes and acts. Chapter 10 and verse 1, listen carefully. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds. That boy, lightning, I mean the lightning flashes, the clouds come, and the rain pours. And give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. In other words, there's food for all. We're talking about spiritual food here. And so it is. Now, many people say, oh, God is going to do that. Now, you're missing something if that's what you think. If you think all you got to do is sit back, well, God made the promise. But what did He really say? What were the first two words of that verse? If I remember, it says, ask ye. You got to take a little part in it. You have to ask God for the truth to get you through the end times. You know what the latter shower is, don't you? After the grain, the former rain sprouts the seed, grows the little plant up to where it's ready to start maturing. But if it turns dry, it blasts in the field. It doesn't amount to anything. But if you have the latter rain, then it blossoms. And the rich, fertile grain comes forth. And the truth is supreme. So you have to have the latter rain. And in the spiritual sense, that latter rain is what allows you to have the strength and the knowledge to know how that you are to react, especially in these end times. That's what the latter rain means, is the end times. But you have to ask for it. You can't just sit back like a potato on a pew in a church and never ask God for anything. Well, he never blesses me. Well, it's no wonder. Can you blame him for not blessing some pew potato that just sits there and expects to be spooned, everything spooned? Well, God needs to take care of me. He will if you'll do it his way. But you have to be a resourceful child. You have to do what he says. He said, ask ye. That means ask God. And then you'll receive what you ask for when it comes to truth and understanding of his word. Well, how do I understand? Chapter by chapter, verse by verse, pick up the subject, the object, and the article, and make your outline, and you will always understand God's word. That's why I highly recommend the Companion Bible, because every chapter is outlined for you in case you can't. Ask ye. Don't be bashful and don't be shy. Ask the Father for understanding when it won't come through for you. Verse 2. For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain, therefore they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. They claimed to be shepherds. But what was it that the 23rd Psalm said about a shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You got to ask. And you can't count on men. We have one shepherd. What it meant was they lie and divine. And they'll always say, you must be a second-class citizen and never defend yourself. You must never say anything that might offend someone. Even the devil? You would let somebody come into your community with false teaching and lead little old children to worship Satan, the false Christ, and you wouldn't do anything about it? Then what are you worth? I can tell you, nothing. And God doesn't like it. So, well, why? Because they don't have the true shepherd. They got this fake shepherd over them. It's called the first Messiah that appears. That's Antichrist. Well, you're certainly reading a lot into the Word right there. No, I'm not reading a lot into the Word. That's what God is talking about here. That is the latter rain, is the truth, and nothing but the truth. You want these little household idols? Well, what is a little household idol? Well, it's a little something that you get so used to that you worship it. Well, it's our congregation. Wherever in the Bible did it say to worship a congregation? I've heard that you should love them, yes, but I've never heard you should worship a congregation. Well, it's a church. Well, tell me this. Wherever did you find it in God's Word that you're to worship a church? Okay. A kirch, let me say it the way it should be said. A kirch is a place where God's Word is taught, not to worship the kirch. It is the Word of God, where His Word comes forth. If it's a true kirch, church that teaches what it's supposed to teach, instead of lies and divine, well, I had a dream. Aunt Mary, you know, did this and did that, and she prayed, and God answered. Well, where's the Scripture? What did God say? We have one shepherd. And don't ever confuse yourself. Follow that shepherd. That shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. You follow Him and ask Him. Ask the Father in His name. You'll always be blessed. Verse 3. Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds. He doesn't like it. And I punished the goats. Well, how could God be angry at preachers? False preachers. Preachers that never get around to teaching God's word. And who are these goats? They're the leaders and the rulers of it. For the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them as a goodly horse in the battle. Wait just a minute. To battle what? I thought we were going to fly away. No, we've got a war going on here. We have a war that is a controversy between Satan and Almighty God. And God just told you in the prior chapter, I'm going to use Judah for a bow, the house of Judah for a bow, and I'm going to use Ephraim, who is the 10 tribes, as the arrow. And I'm going to fire that arrow, and it's going forth, and it's going to do some good. And what? Bringing the truth. The very sword of the Lord is the Word of God. And you can't go around listening to flyaway doctrine when God is preparing some people to stand against the false Christ. What? Pray tell. Well, brother, you don't understand. All you have to do is have the gospel armor on and in place. You got that right. You have spoken truthfully. But let me ask you a question. What is the purpose of the gospel armor? I mean, it's very clear where a child can understand it. In the sixth chapter of Ephesians, what do you put on the gospel armor for? To stand against the fiery darts of Satan. Okay. And if you read the verse or so before that, it says, our war is not with people, but with principalities in high places, meaning Satan and the fallen angels, his little crew he brings with him. That's what the war is about, okay? Not to fly away like a bunch of cowards. You know, there is some false teaching in the world today, and I know it makes me very unpopular among them, but do I look concerned? I'm not. Why? Because I love them. I want them to see the truth of God's Word and be ready to fight the good fight, which is spiritual, and to stand with the gospel armor on and in place against the fiery darts of Satan, who is the Antichrist. He comes at the sixth trump. That tenth verse of the last chapter, which is the second advent, does not come until God himself told you, until he blows the trumpet in the 14th verse of that chapter. You've got to wait until that 14th verse, the trump in it, the 7th. Okay. Then the true Christ returns, but not until. So you can see, God is jealous. And if these so-called good people are worshiping Satan, God's jealous. He wanted a virgin bride. And not that bunch that's deceived. Well, I never heard there were two Christs. Well, you've never read the Bible then. You have never read the Word of God, because it makes it very clear that there are two Messiahs. One is Christ, the other is Antichrist. And Antichrist comes first. So I really do not understand how people can be so misguided when they have these beautiful words to direct them. Verse 4. Out of him came forth the corner. What's the cornerstone? It's Messiah. Okay. The true Messiah. Out of him the nail. This is a tent peg. You know, you're told in the 24th chapter of Jeremiah, don't ever use a grapevine for a tent peg. That's a peg you put in the wall to hang stuff on. Down it goes. Okay. When you start hanging some, use a false shepherd as your peg to hold the truth solely on, it's like using a grapevine. Whoop, down you go. But when you use Christ's tent peg, it will hold. God's truth will stay. Out of him, the battle bow. That's to say, the sword of the Lord. Out of him, every oppressor together. This word oppressor would better be translated every governor, every ruler, every preacher, every shepherd. Okay. Out of him, every oppressor together. In other words, they're going to get it. Okay. Our Father is a loving God. And, well, how can he talk about fighting people and all that kind of thing? And that kind of goes against Christianity, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. Who do you think the cornerstone is that all this takes place from? It is Christ. And how can you dare say that God is a God of love and not do something about those that take His children and mistreat them, lie to them, use them, abuse them, and treat them like dogs? Do you think that pleases our Heavenly Father? No, that's why He's jealous. In other words, He's a good father and a loving father. He's going to take care of His children. And that takes a little tough love along the way. That means a little gourd thumping here and there. And getting rid of some people that don't fit. God likes a peaceful, perfect family. And we're going to have it. It's called the eternity. Verse 5. And they shall be as mighty men, which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. And they shall fight, because the Lord is with them. And the riders on horses shall be confounded. You know, our Father leads the armies of Christian nations. Don't ever kid yourself, and don't let ever anybody tell you any different. That's why we always win. Well, you didn't win Korea, and you didn't win Vietnam. Oh, yes, we did. We broke the back of communism. Communism has now failed everywhere. Well, it's still communist in Cuba. Oh, then that's a success. Give me a break. Take a deep breath. Socialism and communism are worthless. Never work. And our Father, we are in a battle. That is, anytime. Well, why is communism so bad? Well, they don't believe in God. They want God out of the picture when He's in control. That's why it always fails. God didn't build it, and anything built without God's hand always fails. You can count on it. Verse 6. And I will strengthen the house of Judah. Well, what was Judah now? The bow. And I will save the house of Joseph. That again is Ephraim, the 10 tribes. And I will bring them again to place them, for I have mercy. That's love, okay, upon them. And they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God and will hear them. In other words, properly translated, I will answer them. Back to verse 1. Ask ye, and I will answer. That's what He's telling you. But you've got to get real, my friend. You've got to know that the controversy is between God and Satan, and God's children that insist on being bad, unruly, and following the false one. Verse 7. And they of Ephraim, that's the 10 tribes, shall be like a mighty man. And their heart shall rejoice as though through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. You know, there's nothing more a proof of God's presence other than success and peace and the love that God blesses, the warmth of the Holy Spirit as He leads and guides. Freedom is not free. And through the wars of the time, many good men and women have died, okay, paying the price for that freedom that God initiated and brought forth and told us how to do it, how to live it, and how blessed it is. What's He going to do? Verse 8, I will hiss for them. This is an old beekeeper term from the Saxons of I will whistle for them. God saying, I know, I'll call you when I need you. I will whistle for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them. And they shall increase as they have increased. In other words, it's going to be as it was before. People are starving for truth. And people love to hear the Bible taught properly. With no ifs, ands, or maybes. Not to try to cover up or soft or saddle soap something, Okay, you know, that's where you get a false preacher going. He feels, well, I can't teach, about war and rumors of wars and things. Then you couldn't teach God's word, okay? Because God wars against the wicked. But the people are starving for real truth. And that's what this increase is. It's taking place today all the way around the world. Verse 9, and I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. There's such a beautiful thing in this chapter here. If you've listened to Hosea, have you forgotten? What was the first child's name when Hosea was told to go marry the harlot? What was the first child's name? It was Jezreel. And Jezreel has two meanings, to scatter and to sow. What did God say here? He said, I did not scatter you, I sowed you. He sowed you whereby you would sprout and come where he needed you, and to succeed where you were planted, to blossom where you're planted. And that's what he's talking about here. And that they would all turn back to him again because God sowed them. God formed them. God shaped them. They are the children of God. All people, even the Javan mentioned in the 13th verse of the last chapter, if they love the Lord Jesus Christ, if they love Almighty God, then they turn from being heathen and are children of God. It's open to whomsoever will, the real truth and the word of God. This is why it is a dangerous thing to throw sugar and false teachings on people simply to get them in some building somewhere, to make them feel good. Because nothing makes people feel good like the truth does. If you want to fill your buildings, teach the truth. And you'll feel it'll increase to where you can hardly count it, where you can hardly handle it. Don't miss the next lecture. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves, you feel free to question, okay? And please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. Let's do not judge people. I want to make that very clear. If you ask me a question concerning the traditions of a church, I won't handle it. I won't judge it, okay? We're Bible teachers. We teach God's Word. Let the chips fall wherever they may. Never, never, never apologize for the Word of God. It doesn't need any excuse. It is truth, and it heals. It blesses. Truth always blesses. It always helps. It may sting a little bit if you're out of sorts with God, but it will bring you back where he has sowed you, whereby you produce good fruit. All right, those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Again, always a pleasure. You got a prayer request? You don't need that number. You don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. Hey, Christianity is not a religion, it's a reality. God created you different than anyone else. Think about it. Billions of people, and your DNA is different than anyone's. Your fingerprints are different. You're unique. God wanted someone just like you, but He wanted you to love Him, and He will return that love if you ask. Okay. So don't forget to ask. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay, and we'll get into some questions here. We're going to take Stephen from North Carolina. My grandmother, Frances, has seen you answering questions on television. Well, me and my grandmother both believe in God, but me and one of my friends was talking, and he said one thing that makes him not believe in God is the dinosaurs. And Adam and Eve was in the beginning of time. Where do the dinosaurs come in at? Why aren't they mentioned in the Bible? Well, they are. But you see, there was a first earth age before this one. And that's when the dinosaurs roamed all over this country. Okay. And they are mentioned in the 40th chapter of the great book of Job. They're called behemoth. Okay. And we find the artifacts, but they were not in this world age. Okay. God destroyed that first earth age. You can read of it in Jeremiah chapter 4, beginning with verse 18. And brought this earth age into being, where each person is born innocent of woman, to make their mind up whether they're going to follow Satan or God. Okay. So, Stephen, if you were to have your grandmother order the three earth ages, it would help you bring your friend salvation. Judy from Michigan. Judy, where is your question here? I guess you could say I am living by man's world and not that of God's. I do not want to go to hell because of this. My question, here we go. If a person does not go to a specific church, where is that person to tithe? I have sent offerings to, and I'm not going to mention the places. Is this considered tithing? Really, do you want to rob God of anything? It's real simple. First, it should be a place that teaches God's Word, but you tithe where you are fed God's Word. Okay, you got to be fed, or you're being robbed. Okay, if somebody doesn't teach you, they do not deserve your tithe. Okay, the tithe is for a purpose. It's to keep God's Word coming to you, and naturally, common sense is that if one of those organizations is feeding you the Word of God, then you should support that particular work. Now, if you are being fed from more than one church, then if one church is teaching you 10% of the food you're receiving, spiritually speaking, then the other should have 90 or 50-50, whatever the case may be. But you should always be fair and tithe where you're fed the Word of God, and God will bless that. Hannah from Georgia. My name is Hannah. I'm 11 years old, and I am from Georgia. I have pets that I love very much. 2 horses, 2 goats, 2 dogs, 1 cat, 1 hamster, and 1 bunny. You've got a lot of good pets there. My question is, will they go to heaven when they die? Thank you for your answer. I've had 2 pets die already. Well, darling, it just happens, doesn't it? I want you to read Isaiah chapter 11, which has to do with the millennium. God has always had animals. God loves animals. That's why He created them. They didn't just happen out of a cold, dark night somewhere. God created them just like He created man. And not the same, of course. But we find that in the third earth age, There are animals there, but where the bear or the lion can lay with the kid or vice versa, the bear, normally they would kill the lamb because the lamb's defenseless. But there are in spiritual bodies as well, and there are no carnivores there. You have to understand that. There are no carnivores. In other words, flesh eaters. Well, why are there no flesh eaters? Well, there's no flesh. Okay, because it is spiritual eternally. But they are there, so you just rest easy. God loves his critters. Jeannie from Nevada. Is everyone on the planet born from above? There really is no such animal as a born-again Christian, right? Well, technically you're right. Because in John chapter 3, it very clearly states in the Greek, you must be born from above, not born again. Okay. And why does it say you must be born from above? Because of Nephilim, the fallen angels. They refused to be born from above, excuse me, and left their first habitation, as it is written in the book of Jude. And that would go against God's plan of innocency. Okay. And therefore, they are in chains for destruction. But you, all people, you have to believe when God said, let us create man in our image, that we came from him. We came from above. And that's what the Greek manuscripts stipulate. And it is true when you hear, you must be born again. Well, that's false teaching, quite frankly. I'm not going to say that it's a great sin or something. If you don't know any better, you don't know any better. But isn't it a shame that they won't check out the Greek manuscripts? All they would have to do is take a Strong's Concordance and take the word again, born again, and see that it means born from above. Okay, that's what it says. And that's only common sense. Well, it says born of the water. Well, do you know anything about a natural birth? What is the baby in? Besides the placenta, which feeds him. The bag of waters. What is one of the first things that happens at birth? The bag of waters breaks. Okay. And they are born from above. They came here from above. It didn't just hatch out in the womb. It came from God. This is why, well, where does life begin? And with God. Even all back in the first earth age. So I know that's a little heavy for some people, and I'll stop there, okay? I hope that helps. Victoria from Michigan. I'm sorry, Mississippi. I know when Christ returns that we who are alive and in flesh bodies will be changed instantly into our spiritual bodies. My question is, what happens to all the flesh bodies at that time? Do they just disappear? It's very difficult sometimes to explain dimensions, okay? Because we are in a totally different dimension. And Father and many of the angels and God's helpers are around us. And you wouldn't see them. Why? Because they're in a different dimension. This is why flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, because it's a different dimension. We're in chapter 10. We're going to be in chapter 14, and you're going to find out there in Zechariah what happens to those bodies. It's kind of a crude way of describing it. But it'll get it done. We'll get there. Just be sure and listen to the next few broadcasts. Pastor Murray, please explain the 8th chapter of John, verse 37. He knows that they were Abraham's offspring, but when in verse 41 he says, you are doing the works of your father, and then in verse 44, he says they are of their father, the devil. My question is, how can they be Abraham's offspring and the children of the devil too? Okay, and that's from Marion from Iowa. And thank you for your teaching. You are so welcome. It's real simple. What does the word Abraham mean in the Hebrew tongue? Father of many nations. So I don't care who you are in the spiritual sense, he would be your father. Because God gave him that name, Father of Many Nations. Do you know what his name was before it was changed to that? It was Abram, not Abraham. And so it is. But later on, then, when they began to be obstinate, which put them outside of the covenant, because it was obvious, they did not respect that. And they were refusing Christ. Then Christ forthwith told them, as is in 44, you're of your father Cain, the first murderer in the beginning. Meaning they were Kenites, children of the devil. And that's what he told them, and that's what they were. But understand this. Christ cannot lie. All they had to do, even as a Kenite, a child of Cain, all they had to do is to love the man that was speaking to them, Messiah, and they would have been children of God. Through Abraham, father of many nations, meaning even the Kenites, if they believe. That's how great our and loving our Father is. Okay, I hope that helps you. This is Jen from... Jean, I guess that's pronounced, from Virginia. I have been under the impression that Satan as Antichrist would be kicked out of heaven to reign during the tribulation for 5 months. But the other day, I understood you to say that those 5 months would be divided in half, just as Daniel's prophecy of 7 years were to be divided in half. Two 3.5-year period, yes. Will you please discuss this more on a future broadcast? Well, we always discuss it in the book of Revelation, but if you read the first verse of, what is it, chapter 8 in the book of Revelation, it says there was silence in heaven for 1.5 hours. And then when you turn to Revelation chapter 17, you find out that that 5 month period, which is mentioned in Revelation 9, is related as 1 hour, symbolically speaking. The whole thing is 1 hour. Why? Because it's the hour of temptation. It's the hour that people are really tempted. So why would it say for a half hour there's silence in heaven? Because Satan's kicked out. And they kind of celebrate there. But we can kind of divide that into then 2.5 month periods, because the hour is 5 months long. And the rest as it follows. Hope that helps you. Laura from Georgia. My question is it a sin to eat pork? Thank you for being here for all of us who want to know more about our Father's Word in His name. Well, it is not a sin to death to eat scavengers. But it is a sin against your health. As it is written in Leviticus 11, of the swine you shall not eat. There's a reason for it. God created them to clean things up off the earth, and it won't hurt them. Okay. Because they don't have sweat glands. And the poison and toxics that would kill a human being go into the fat, and there it's frozen. Now, not literally frozen, but it's held. And that's why when you eat the fat of a pig, a swine, then you're eating all the poison that that animal partook of from its birth. Because it has no way of getting rid of the poison or the poison hurting it. That's the way of a scavenger. And that is why God does a porker does have a couple of 3 sweat glands in the nostril of the nose. Okay, but other than that, that's the reason why. But it's not a sin that would send you to hell. It's a sin to your health. Okay, period. Many people then will say, well, you don't understand, brother. God changed that in Acts chapter 10 when Peter was taken up to a roof and God said, you eat those unclean animals. And, you know, you really don't understand then, because you should read it again, and you find out that at that time, Cornelius was sending some servants to the gate waiting for Peter to come to his house and save the family, because the Gentiles were believing, and God loves the Gentile. So Peter told God, he said, God, I'm not going to eat those. Three times they came down, and God never had him eat one of them. And then he said, Peter, what I'm talking to you about, alos in the Greek, you will not call man common. You will no longer call any man that loves me unclean, like an unclean animal. Got it? Okay, that's what the whole purpose was, is to show Peter that he had to teach the Gentiles as well as the house of Israel, that God opened Christianity to them. Now, again, you'll have another preacher in his ignorance will say, well, you, brother, you've never read Timothy then, because it says right there, do not let any man judge you in marriage. Well, this is judging in marriage. I mean, well, brother, are you divorced? You cannot remarry. What did Christ say? Don't let anyone judge you in marriage. Okay. Meaning, if you repent of any sin, you either believe Christ forgives them and you have a clean start, or you're not a Christian. You're kind of just hanging on trying to be a legalist when you don't understand God's law. Christ forgives. But then it says, or judge what you eat in those things that God created to be received. God did not create the swine to be received. Okay. He makes that very plain. So you just have to, but you know, like I said, it's not a sin to death, it's a sin to your health. And it's better to be healthy than unhealthy. There's enough pollution in the world already that you're going to partake of without eating it into your system, okay? Through breathing and what have you. Mary from Minnesota. Where in the Bible is a verse that says, all property there on earth belongs to God? Psalms chapter 50, verses 10 and 11. 1,000 hills, the cattle are mine. Everything is mine. Okay. Psalms 50, verses 10 and 11. Hey, after all, he created it. He made the hills. Why wouldn't it be his? Okay. David from Florida. Apparently, Dr. Bullinger believed that there would be a rapture. Are we to believe that knowledge has expanded, or was Bullinger taken in by the traditional teachings of the rapture? Your thoughts, please. Well, you know, you have to realize that Dr. Bullinger died in 1915. Okay. How many events have transpired since 1915 that let us see the... We have seen the parable of the fig tree come into existence. He didn't. And the word is pregnant. And he never claimed to know everything. And neither does anyone today. I certainly don't. You told me, you show me a person that knows everything, and I'll show you somebody that is a dreamer. Okay? Because God's word is pregnant and it grows. And I feel that I teach well enough and can highly recommend Dr. Bullinger's work, because I teach well enough that a person can spot his error as well as he could spot mine, I hope. I really believe in God's word that strongly, that if you teach properly, then your students are going to be exposed to the world. That's just the way it is, and you'd better teach them well enough that they're able to spot flaws and know, but to at the same time utilize common sense and understanding. Barbara from Florida. What happens when Jesus comes back and we are in our spiritual bodies? Will our old bodies fall off and go back to dirt? Apparently they will, okay, because that's what they are. But again, I'm going to, that's the second time we've had that question. I'm going to say again, when we cover the 14th chapter, we'll go into just a little more depth on that. It's a different dimension, okay? when you're in a different dimension, you don't see what's in this dimension necessarily. Okay, you're not aware of it. Let's put it that way. I'll put it a different way. It does not get in the way. Okay. Karen from Maryland, who are the kings and the queens? Well, the book of Revelation makes it very clear. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 20 through 24, we're in the kingdom. Okay, we're in the eternity. And things are as they will always be, forever and ever and ever. And we have the 12 tribes at Jerusalem, around Zion. But here, who is this coming over the hill here? And they have their king with them. And there's no gender in that, kings and queens. They are the nations, which that word in the Greek is ethnos. Okay, it's the ethnic people, or what we call Gentiles. They have their own leaders, which is the equivalent of one of God's elect. Okay, only they are, their people will listen to them. They may not listen to me, but they will listen to one of them that has studied God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse and receive it. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's word. Most of all, God loves you for it. You make God's day, He's going to make yours, okay? Because He loves you. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? Bless God. He will always bless you. I'm going to tell you something most important, though. It's this. That you set aside a little time and you stay in His word every day. Every day in it's a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, He is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on the